You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. I was a little disappointed. I thought this was going to be a sequel to that Jennifer Connelly film where she finds like the ghosts in the big tank of water on her roof.
Wow.
And stuff. Dark Water. Do you remember that
one?
Wow. Right. Add a plural.
Throwing it back.
Yeah, I know.
I did not see this one coming.
Nobody cares about that movie. The original Jay Horror one everybody liked. Remake, not so much. Not so uncommon with the Jay Horror remakes in America.
I'm
but
shocked.
Nothing could be further from Jay Horror. Well, actually, not that far, really, Dark Waters.
I mean, you will leave the theater being upset and scared, so maybe?
Yeah, like in a very real sort of, I gotta go home and throw out half the stuff in my kitchen.
You will text your significant others and be like, hey, so do you have anything by DuPont? Destroy it immediately.
Well, I mean, as this movie points out, almost pretty much every human being on the planet is already infected.
99%. Yeah. And most living things on the planet.
Yep. This is the story of DuPont's, well, the article from... Ooh, boy, where was it from? The New York Times Magazine. The lawyer who became DuPont's worst nightmare, which is the story of lawyer Robert Bellott, played here by Mark Ruffalo.
He also produced it.
Who also produced it. Well, he's a big activist. Huge.
Yeah, it was very clear. It's like, this is a passion project.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that all you have to do is see Tim Robbins is in something to go, this is going to be like a very political passion project.
I love him
project.
So much.
He was actually at Fantastic Fest. I did not get to talk to him.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah, it was my friend Brian Salisbury, who used to work on the site, was there, and he was like, I was like, all right, so I'll see you in the movie, and he never showed up. I came out, and it's like, the fuck, dude, where were you? And he just pointed at Tim Robbins over there. He's like, I've been drinking with Tim Robbins for 2 hours.
Of course Brian was drinking with Tim Robbins. That would be...
of course. Jealous. Yeah, he's got pictures of them, like, hugging each other and stuff. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Anyway... This particular movie, directed by Todd Haynes, who is not known for this type of film, generally speaking. He has certainly done a lot of very intense type movies and themes, but he's certainly not known as much for the sort of socio-political or real-life corporate stories. I mean, he did films like Carol and I'm Not There and Far From Heaven and Velvet Goldmine.
Wow,
I'm
Velvet Goldmine.
Interesting that there, and granted, this may just be the ones that I have been reviewing lately, is that there have been a lot of movies lately that have been focused on articles or reports.
Well, this is Oscar season. That's why.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's a big time for that.
Yeah, because like right now of the reviews that I've done, four of them have been about reports or articles.
Real-life stories that should absolutely terrify you that unfortunately the majority of Americans who need to see this and be wildly concerned probably will never see.
And always, are probably dying anyway.
Always the things that annoys me most about the almost self-congratulatory Oscar films where it's like, this is great. More people need to see this. They won't. But it'd be great if they did, you know.
I was thinking about that during the movie and thinking like, yeah, I'm going to go home and tell everybody to watch this movie and not necessarily tell them what it is about because it is something that you have to experience in order to get the magnitude of.
Well, this is the art, the, you know, another one of many, many, many arguments out there of why corporations absolutely, 1,000,000,000% cannot be trusted to regulate themselves. And if you're like, yeah, but the government and her emails, then you know what? You don't understand the picture. You don't understand what's happening here. And even sometimes with the government involved, these corporations are, as I say, too big to fail and can't be held accountable for their own actions, even if, as they like to call themselves, corporations are people. If you murdered knowingly thousands of people, wouldn't you get, like, life 50 times over?
Right.
But not a corporation. They get a slap on the wrist and sent on their way to keep doing what they were doing.
And even when they do get, you know, fined, is it, you know, it pointed out in the film, the fines that this company ended up having to pay out don't make up for a year in the Teflon sales that caused the horror.
Right. And we are talking about DuPont, who in fact knowingly poisoned an entire town in West Virginia. I mean, like going back till 20 years before this was discovered, knew that what they were doing was going to be a not just a risk, was going to straight up kill people.
And had at that point.
Yeah. They had there's internal memos about like, yes, we know this. We're just going to, the profits are too huge on Teflon. We're just going to look past it. None of this is conjecture. This is all recorded fact.
Yeah, and then
in their own words, in their own documentation.
Right, yeah. And not just that, birth defects and fertility. And then when a independent committee came out, it's like, I believe 8 different terminal cancers are linked to Teflon.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, so it basically, if you don't know yet and you've got a bunch of old pots and pans, you should probably consider throwing them out and getting new ones.
Yeah, do not burn them.
Don't burn them, because that makes it worse.
Yeah, the problem is it's heat that sets Teflon off. Obviously, a problem with pots and pans. Well, who's heating pans anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it was good enough for war tanks. It should be good enough for pots and pans.
Looks real good in Life magazine when you publish it with a real beautiful woman holding it, being Susie Homemaker.
Well, everything does.
The egg just flops out.
It's funny how propaganda is basically the same thing as advertising.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I was doing some reading about this movie before I went to see it, because I saw the trailer at another movie I was seeing and said, wow, this looks really good to begin with. I love stories like this, and I love the way that they are told. This is the kind of cinema that I really enjoy, if you can enjoy a movie like this. I love seeing stories like this told well, because of their importance.
It's not good, but it's important.
Yeah, it's absolutely important, and it's something that It changes you in a way when you see it, and it's something that's going to stick with you much longer than your usual film. You're just going to digest and then move on about your day. But when I was doing research on this, the original bullet points of the story didn't really strike a chord with me, but then I heard the tagline, "The Better Living Through Chemistry," and that did. Mm. And I was like, okay, I remember that from when I was a kid. I remember that being the moment and being what people were talking about, and I remember the spin they tried to put on these things about making it healthy and advising you how to, you know, cook well with your Teflon and things like that. It's terrifying how easy it is for things like that to prevail.
And keep in mind, this is only one example. And are so many out there. This was just one of the bigger ones that they've proven that they were able to prove legally that liability should be held. And once again, anyway, the upshot is this film stars Mark Ruffalo as a lawyer. He is a corporate defense lawyer working for a huge firm, Tim Robbins being both his friend and the senior partner.
Usually works to help chemical companies.
Right. Well, he says we defend chemical companies in lawsuits. But he didn't know. He's married to Anne Hathaway. They have a kid, another one on the way. His life is almost boringly normal for a lawyer when two guys show up. Bill Camp playing the more recognizable one. The
Farmers.
Wilbur Tennant shows up a box of videotapes and like, look, like your grandma is one of my neighbors and she told me to go find you. And in the town of West Virginia that you grew up in, I had like 200 cows and 190 of them are dead in a very short period of time, basically. This all comes along as he chooses to start actually and see what's going on, you know, because it's clear he's got a good heart. He's just kind of forgotten how to use it on some level.
He's beaten down by the system.
In. Also, he's in a corporate world where
It's work. This is the way that things are done and how you move up the system and up the ladder.
Yeah, and I actually love a scene later when, you know, he's more involved in this case and one of the other guys who's cheaty from Good Place is like, essentially going, you want to challenge the status quo. This is not what we do. And his boss is like, this is why people hate lawyers. You care more about the status quo than you care about justice.
Yeah.
And that was a really great moment. It's like, yeah, you get caught up
in... Well, Tim Robbins was like, I'm not doing this unless I get to do a big speech about evil lawyers.
I can see that.
So he starts getting involved in this case, and the law firm is very skeptical. Like, come on, man, what are you doing here? Everyone's like, okay. But there's a lot of... Obviously, he's got a lot of friends there and a lot of trust with his boss, Tim Robbins. So he decides to start taking this on. And the more he looks, the more absolutely horrible this giant pit of evil starts growing that he discovers has been going on here for
decades.
You mean
the filing office? The filing room?
Not the circular pile. Yeah, well, yeah. And they are just trying to find any way possible to offset him. And this is one of those films. It is a procedural legal film in its way. There's a lot of these that tend to come out Oscar season. We just saw The Report, which is another one of these.
Actually, I was going to find it interesting in a comparison to The Report, because The Report is pretty much all about The Report and about the collecting of this information and how they tried to stop him from getting this out. That was the focus. This one I found interesting in that, yes, there was that in the him trying to find this all information. And yes, it had, you know, DuPont trying to block him from revealing it. But there was a lot of the human cost from both points of view. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the human cost of DuPont literally killing people, but also from him being the lawyer and the fact that, you know, like he got this phone call from after, you know, blood tests were taken and being analyzed and it's been years and years and years and nothing. A guy calling him and going, we trusted you.
Right.
And so it's like, in one of the reports, it calls people receptors, and at that moment, it kind of felt like even Mark Ruffalo was seeing these people as receptors, and as just part of the lawsuit. Not in a negative way, but like that's what you have to do to compartmentalize. And I thought the film was really good to have touches of, you know, some guy going up and going, hey, my brother died of testicular cancer. Hey, they actually have the real life person that they are talking about in a cameo at a gas station. It's like, while there's all this procedural stuff going on of corporation versus lawyer, they also have this pop-up of people are dying. People are having deformities. And it's like, this isn't just a lawsuit.
Well, primary difference with the style of those two films is The Report is about him discovering stuff that already happened and then us seeing flashbacks of that stuff. This one is about things that are happening right then and there and are much more him directly interviewing and talking to these people as it goes, as we watch this timeline inexorably creep forward as we're more and more, much like him going, that continues to this day, as we see more and more of this and go, how is this taking this long? I know they say the wheels of justice turn slowly, but you know what? When people are dying, I think maybe justice needs to find a new process for accelerating things in cases like this. And certainly, there's, once again, plenty of examples. But I think it is the ultimate goal of this film is not as much specifically for you to go, oh, I better get all the Teflon out of my house.
Right.
As it is for you to realize how utterly ingrained and hand-in-hand the government and the major corporations are. The fact that everything for decades has been slowly being set up to protect these huge companies because it's all about money, it's all about saving the economy, and these companies are what make the economy work and move forward at whatever cost.
Yeah, it's like finally now it's said in a little blurb at the end, the EPA is looking into chemicals that are forever chemicals, and this chemical in Teflon is a forever chemical. Like another popular one is asbestos. It's like, if you have it in you, you have it forever.
Forever, yeah.
And so they're like, finally now. And that's the thing.
Well, probably not right now, since Trump totally replaced everybody on the EPA.
That's true. So. But that they're like, huh, maybe we should look into these 600 that we know about. And that's the thing, too, is, oh God, my brain. It disappeared.
There's too much Teflon in there?
It's too much Teflon. But it'll get back to me.
Here's the thing. I want to get away from the political stuff because we've kind of said our piece on that and just talk about it as a movie and the qualities of it as a movie. And it's interesting, as I pointed out at the beginning of this review, Todd Haynes, who tends to make very drenched in color type of films. I mean, I'm not talking just about Velvet Goldmine, which is certainly right. his drenchiest.
I really enjoy that film.
It's one of those films I wish I liked more than I did, but I keep coming back to it anyway. You know, because
you wish you could quit it, but you can't. Because
it's technically David Bowie and Iggy Pop, so you're like, yeah. come on, and Lou Reed, you're like, yeah. I want to see that movie. I wish it was better. But he makes movies that are. They are very flush with color and emotion in a very overt way, even if often they're about people trying not to show their emotions. This film is filmed in such a way that I couldn't believe I was watching a Todd Haynes film. It's so utterly just gray clouds and drabness and snow and rain and darkened, shadowy corridors. I still am like, that just is baffling to me that this was Haynes. But from all reports, this is an issue that was very close to his heart and why he got involved in it. And I certainly don't think it's a bad film. I kept thinking in my head, rather than comparing it to the report, it reminded me not so much in terms of the way it was made, but in the way it was addressing the issue and structure of The Informant, the old Michael Mann film.
Oh, I haven't seen that
which
one.
Is, I think, kind of the masterpiece of this sort of subgenre of procedural legal cinema. It's tremendously well-made film. And I kept thinking, I wish this film had a little bit more of that type of style to it, because often it's letting this story and this character alone be the propellant to get you through it. And that's a lot, quite frankly, because it is a very compelling story. And I think overall, Ruffalo, as much as he's trying very hard to sort of pull it down a bit, only so that later when he becomes more emotional, it's that much more affecting. Even he's doing a weird face thing the whole time. You see that where he's got this clenched jaw thing? He's the affectation, which I can only assume is what Robert Ballot actually looks like.
Probably.
I think it's a relatively restrained performance and a relatively restrained looking film. And I gotta admit, I would have liked to have seen something that was maybe trying a little bit harder for some degree of like visual flair here. And at 126 minutes, that's when I'm awful like. Also, tend to be like, I need to see a little bit more.
It does feel like it drags, and a part of me wonders whether or not that was intentional, because like there will be things like he has a victory and then in the very next scene DuPont gives him a middle finger, and so it feel, you can feel the heaviness that he is carrying. So it's like part of me is like, yeah, it's dragging, but is that because you want to feel Mark Ruffalo
the weight of
what he's doing?
I feel like that's very much, I mean, as a person thinking about how I would have written this if I were doing it, I feel like that has to have been the intent. The coloring of the film and the heaviness of the soundtrack and the sheer slog of getting from point A to point B is how those characters would have felt in the moment, and it's what they would have gone through. So just experiencing the film in the format that it was given puts you through that. Like, there were moments in the film where, yeah, I felt exhausted and I felt stressed and anxious, and I felt that real, as you said, heaviness of it. And I think that, you know, if you are trying to get somebody to make a connection between this element that you might not have known about and yourself, that's how you do it. Like, you have to get people in that moment to feel it. And I think this movie was absolutely a success in that manner for me.
Although I felt
those things.
I will say, though, that kind of connection, at least for me, did not happen until about the midpoint of the movie, when Ruffalo was explaining to Hathaway what was going on. Because up to that point, it's just research and it's just... things are going weird and DuPont is behind something increasingly nefarious, but you don't exactly, and it has something to do with chemicals, but you don't know exactly what the importance of that is until he sits down with his wife and goes, this is what's going on. They're poisoning us. And this is how. And once that happens, you now understand the gravity of the situation. And at least for me, it felt like, okay, now I fully understand why this is such a weight. And why
I feel like
that
that also could play into the intent of it, which is he didn't know anything about this going into it. And so it wasn't until he had gone through the slog of these massive amounts of files that he was able to get it himself. And it really clicked into place and became relevant to him personally. Like, he made his grandmother move and all of that. So I feel like all of this is meant to make you feel the way that that lawyer felt when he was learning this case and then going through it and then living it for the 13 or 15 years of his life. And it I don't know. Me personally, it really impacted me in that way. This is a project I am definitely not going to forget anytime soon.
There are odd little feints in the film towards insinuations of the possibility of physical violence against people who are, you know, involved in the suit. Mm-hmm. But they're odd little feints. They're like almost feel like somebody told them they should put them in there, which is weird. And that's one of the levels on The Informant. You're like, okay, so there's like decided like people getting beaten up and having their lives directly threatened. And this was almost like someone going, well, maybe there should be something like that in there. And maybe something like nothing like that ever happened. So they just kind of added a sort of, but what if something happened that could have been that?
Yeah, I wonder if any of that actually did happen. Like right. If there were fires or if people, suffered in any way for
it. I don't know. But I will say that there's some nice side performances here. Anne Hathaway.
She was stellar.
She disappears for almost the last act of the film entirely, but she is really great in this. She's always great. Bill Camp, who plays the guy who first comes to Mark Ruffalo with this stuff, is terrific. Once again, always terrific. Victor Garber plays the Ruffalo's connection and initially friend at DuPont, who has one really nice moment where he kind of freaks out on him early on. Mayor Winningham plays a townsperson who they become one of the people involved in there, and she's great, but they don't give her a heck of a lot to do. Bill Pullman has a lovely third act turn as the Foghorn Leghorn lawyer who's brought in to help with the case. You know, I mean, right there you should go, I just want to see it for the Foghorn Leghorn Bill Pullman.
I haven't seen him in anything in a while, but that was I've always liked him.
Then
liked
you should really watch The Sinner, which is a television show he's a star of, because it's terrific and he's so great in it.
Nice.
And there are like five people that are focused as people in this lawsuit that do make cameos. One of them, like at the end, when one of them showed up, I'm like, oh crap, that was really him.
Yeah, they anyone who's alive, they tried to like sneak into the film at points. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Why don't you get us started, Mindy?
As I said, I thought it was very similar to Report in that it does leave an impression on you, and you go out of the theater like really thinking and really being angry at evil corporations and me wanting to know who this guy was, the lawyer, because it's another story of somebody who is willing to put all of it on the line. Like, you know, you see him go through, you know, struggles in his marriage and with, you know, relationships with his family and his health going down the drain, but he's willing to do it and continues to do it up until now and beyond because it's the right thing to do. And you need stories about, especially in this world climate, of people that are willing to do the right thing, even if it's hard. And that is important. As I said, I did think it dragged, particularly in the beginning. Again, I'm not sure whether that was an artistic choice or not. I could see it going either way. But, you know, those that don't see it as an artistic choice are going to be like, okay, what's the point? And since it takes so long to get, like I said, I think it's like midway in the movie when it gets to this is the point. People may have shut down by that point. But other than that, it is an important story. All the actors are pretty stellar. Like I said, it's just the pacing that might be a deterrent. So I will say 8 celebratory Mai Tais out of 10.
You stole my thing.
Yes!
Jennifer, what you better think of another thing while you talk.
Thing. Oh, that's so mean.
I'm sure there's plenty
of things. All right, so
dead cows.
I absolutely
black teeth.
Quotey fingers.
Damn it.
Enjoyed this movie. It really hit home for me, the severity of this situation, and I'm really glad that people are telling stories like this. I mean, you can make 1,000 through lines between what's happening in this film and the direct conversations we're having today about big business and industry and ethics and those things, and I think it's a conversation that you can't beat over the head enough. I really don't. I think the supporting cast in this film really did some exceptional things with very little that they were given. It was, 95% Mark Ruffalo and then like 5% other people. But like, there was a moment where Anne Hathaway talks with the main character's boss
at the hospital. That's,
you know, there's obvious conflict that happens. Like, the unsung heroes of these situations, like military families and things like that, are the people that have to suffer because of the lifestyle of work that their partners have chosen. And not only was that highlighted in the film well, but there was also a solidarity that happens that even though you can think that, you know, even though if there is stress and hardship at home because of that life path, you still have a solidarity when it comes to facing the world outside of your home. And Anne Hathaway had a moment where she really, really highlighted that and showed a great ability to get outside of her own suffering and into that of her husband and highlight that for his boss in a way that was just understated. And it was a brief moment, but I think it was beautiful and it was excellently done. And then, you know, the moment with his boss in the room where he is getting, like, you've kind of been unsure of where he really falls in the line of, is this something he's passionate about or is it something he's just allowing to happen? And then he decidedly goes one direction or the other. And the moment where he decides to step up and do that is just a really beautiful moment as well. So those supporting moments really just drive home the point of the piece for me. I think there could have been more cinematography that allowed you to kind of get the things happening behind the scenes, but there was one moment about three quarters of the way through the film where they did a thing with a camera that you don't normally see in a movie, and I had a moment of, why in the world would they make that
choice? I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And then I thought about it for a second and I got it, and I was like, oh no, you're supposed to be able to make this connection to how disjointed this character is feeling about everything in life. Like, the camera is disjointed because this person's disjointed. And that was a very obvious
down the hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That one, and it was one frame of the movie that did that, but I was like, oh, I see what you did there. That's interesting.
Well, not frame. That would have been like a millisecond.
Sorry, one scene. It was like a 5-second scene, but I saw it and I appreciated it.
The fact that we all knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really groovy moment. Wish there had been more of that as the film played out. I can't put my finger on any others, but that one was there and I saw it. All right. So I will give this movie 9.5 packs of post-it notes.
There you go. See, you found something.
I did.
And this
she
movie,
actually said in the theater, he's going to need more post-it notes.
I did.
Like, this movie, I don't know what the budget was, but I'm sure half of it was post-it notes.
It had to have been, yeah. Right. And then, manila folders and accordion folders.
Yeah. And probably cocktails.
Yes.
A lot of cocktails.
A lot of cut fruit.
Film.
Yeah.
So I think we're largely all on the same page here. I do think this is one of those movies that, as good as it really is and as important it is, this is one of these stories I wish I could force everyone on the planet to sit down and watch with the Clockwork Orange eye holder open things.
Ooh,
you know?
Savage,
but
do it.
This is one of those movies I go, I feel like you should probably try and watch this at home, because it's a movie I wish I could have taken breaks during. I'm like, it's a long film and it's kind of a drab, like, looking film and slow moving film, and it's that type of film that sometimes I just wanted a second to stop and think about it, maybe, you know, go do something else for 10 minutes then come back to it. It's one of those you go, I could have seen this maybe even being better to be a very small miniseries on Netflix than a film, but it is what it is. And I still think it's well worth seeing. I still think it is excellent in its own way. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10. Shit, I knew what it was going to be just a second ago. I'm just going to go with Black Teeth. That's fine. Which was going to be my original one anyway until you blurted it out. You monster. Always
you.
Using the Jungian unconsciousness to steal our thoughts.
I was signed with DuPont like 3 weeks ago.
I knew it. You villain.